Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, I'd like to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Christy DeVette, and she is with Safe Hands. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you, Lee. Very happy to be here. And thank you for giving us the platform to share our story.
Well, let's get right into it. Tell us about Safe Hands. How are you serving folks?
Safe Hands, we are a reentry research and communication system company. We allow users to signal their comfort level with interaction and home risk level during the pandemic. So as far as we're aware, Safe Hands is the only company that's sole purpose is to really translate opinion research surveys into products that immediately increase the likelihood of maintaining a successful opening.
So then who is your client then? Is it the organizations? Is it individuals?
Yes. So our markets are, you know, we see this working the best in places of worship, in schools, and in workplaces. So we do have direct-to-consumer available as well. But it's really, you know, making sure that the product is sold into an ecosystem where users can recognize what the other person is wearing, making it more effective.
So then walk me through how it works. Say I have a place of worship is my business and I want everybody to gather there because it's important, but I also want to keep people as safe as possible. I say, hey, Christy, is this something you can help me with?
Yes. Great question. So, I mean, early on in the pandemic, I think we noticed how awkward interactions could be between neighbors, between parishioners, like you said, friends, coworkers, even family. I'm sure, Lee, you could name a few yourself from the last couple of months. So, you know, if you did have a place of worship, you were probably implementing some sort of rules or guidelines, sanitation, to get everyone back a little bit more comfortably. So some of those rules could be how to enter and exit, how to stand in line. But the reality is the real world is really throwing hundreds of situations at us that aren't covered by these systems. And, you know, 6 feet and perfect sanitation are not always possible or practical. So, you know, we're taking these moments where there's fear and confusion and how to interact with people and inherent liabilities because there is no system in place in some circumstances. And we're giving a system that facilitates interpersonal communication based on someone's comfort level or risk level. So really our formula, which is communicating the what, your comfort or risk level, and then the why, which is your parishioners or your employees' reasons and feelings, desires on such a complex problem, would give us all the cues to unlock empathy and give everyone a little bit more confidence when they're ready to reenter church or the workplace or whatever that might be. So really it's, you know, at the heart of this, we feel like it's people who are going to make people feel more comfortable and be able to, you know, reenter the workplace or the church. And that system is really missing from a lot of reopening plans.
Now, it seems to me there's people are looking at what's going on multiple different ways, but there's some groups that, and I don't even want to say group in an organized manner, but just people are seeing it. There was a guy who wrote a book. I think he calls it two movies, one screen. So like the information is neutral, but how I see the information is different than the way somebody else might see the information. And I'm positive my way is the right way. And I think you're crazy for thinking your way is the right way. And you're positive your way is the right way. And you think I'm crazy. So it seems like some of that's happening now with the masks as a symbol of of safety or of, you know, taking away freedoms, depending on whatever symbol it is I believe in. How do you kind of get around that kind of structural misconceptions or structural miscommunications?
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly something we took to mind when developing our communication and really the statements that go with each colors, which I can get to in a minute. But it's really empowering people to make their own choices based on the environment that they're in. You might be comfortable, you know, taking a walk with a neighbor. Perhaps you are a green in that environment. You might be going into the radio station, but, you know, seeking, you know, at least 6 feet wherever possible, and you might be a blue in that situation. And we know that people are going to be willing and able to re-enter at different times based on what the government and their state and their market is telling them. So we wanted to provide a system that did move from, you know, orange to blue to green so that it can move over time and people can continue to use it when they are ready to re-enter. So, you know, we do have masks as a product. I think you mentioned that. So, you know, masks paired with, of course, the other indicators that we have, we always recommend, but we also aren't here to police anyone. People have to make their own choices. Hopefully they are good choices for themselves, their family, and of course, the rest of their community.
Now, like you mentioned, this is a fluid situation, and yeah. And I might be different colors just from the parking lot to my cubicle. You know, like I might feel comfortable in the parking lot with, you know, being, hey, this is a safe zone here. And then getting into my building, I might feel like, oh, this is not as safe. And then by the time I'm in my cubicle where there's lots of people, I would think I better, you know, kind of get everything into all the precautions. So how does your system flex to that kind of fluidity that happens just in day-to-day life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think ultimately we recommend wearing the color or product that you will be comfortable with for like the most amount of time based on what you're doing that day. So for example, for me, if I am going into my office, which is open, I'm a blue in that circumstance. And whether or not I'm a green walking to my car or, you know, kissing my husband goodbye before I go to work, really what I'm set out to do that day, I would be a blue. But I also could carry an additional wristband or whatever in my purse. If I was going to be doing another thing that day where I wanted to have, you know, a different color on. So we don't have products that you can, you know, tap and it changes colors, unfortunately. But I think the products that we do have are pretty flexible and cost effective so that you could have and wear more than one.
So now say an organization says, okay, I'm in, I'd like to implement this company wide. How does the onboarding work and the kind of education and getting buy-in by all the people?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first piece of that is going to be our research offering. So we have done, we've done a national benchmark survey that allows us to understand comfort level of, let's just say we go back to place of worship, you know, how comfortable are people in places of worship right now and why or why not? We then, for your entity, would run a public, you know, public opinion survey to your parishioners, and we would find out against the national benchmark, you know, where are you guys measuring when it comes to communication, or where are you guys measuring when it comes to your sanitation process? So the first step is really a consultation for, you know, where are people feeling more or less comfortable? What are those insights that we can give you so that you can focus on making people a little bit more comfortable re-entering that situation? And then we would recommend the product set based on what your parishioners say they would wear. So if they were, you know, 40% green, 40% blue, and 20% orange, then we put together a product set that would work in your place of worship based on what we think people would wear, potentially where the signage would need to go based on how many entrances and exits that you have for people to adopt. And then we also provide just a quick explainer video and, you know, quick training that you can send out to all parishioners before they would enter so that they understand the system and they understand the colors before they come to church.
Now, how do you kind of deal with the people that are feisty? You know, like... That, you know, there's in the group, in any group, there's going to be kind of the rebellious people. And sometimes they are kind of, they create a lot of friction in the machine. How do you kind of manage them?
Yes. So it's certainly something that has to be positioned as voluntary. So through some of our early research, we found that there's going to be anywhere from like 3 to 7% of people who don't see the system as valuable or would not participate. And that's fine. You know, seeing that 90 whatever percent of the people want this and see it as valuable and would participate is a really good start. So you're always going to have naysayers. And so far we haven't had very vocal naysayers or people who are challenging the system. And we would just, you know, encourage those people, you know, not to participate, but certainly still treat the others who are participating with respect. You know, if somebody is wearing an orange, that's really, you know, the people that we all need to rally around and protect. So whether you are wearing a color or not, we certainly would encourage people to respect those folks based on their personal preferences.
Now, do you have any insight to why certain people get so fired up about this on both sides of the spectrum? I mean, to me, this is so polarizing in so many ways, and maybe it's not, and maybe it's just the media is kind of magnifying the few times it happens, but it seems like when it happens, it just doesn't make any sense. Whether the person saying I should never wear a mask or somebody says I should always wear a mask, whatever the side is you're on, it just seems like they're so just fired up about it. It seems like out of the amount of fired up they are, it seems out of a kind of sorts for what the reality is.
Yeah, no, we completely agree. So, you know, I think what we have found is it comes down to a couple of different factors. One of them, of course, is perspective, like you mentioned. What are you seeing, reading? What is your source of information? That can sway a person greatly on the scale of the spectrum. The other one is, you know, your own personal health factors or personal experience. Have you already lost a loved one? Do you feel scared, like you are at risk? And then I think the last kind of grouping is the current guidelines or systems in place in the place that you might be going. So people are all over the place on whether they think, you know, guidelines or sanitation is going to do anything at all, because the information can be so different based on, you know, a system might be perfect in theory, but and look perfect. But, you know, when folks return back to X school, you know, they're already back out a week later because, you know, there's really no way to fully prevent the spread. So it's going to get people riled up because you can't present a perfect solution for this. It doesn't exist. So I think the more you can educate yourself on the realities of the situation, obviously the better.
So now what's the backstory to how this was developed and what was the impetus for coming up with a system at all?
Yeah, great question. So obviously not a company that the founders even thought about before April of this year. But I, you know, my husband, Chris, and the other co-founder, Monica's husband, David, they own a market research company here in Atlanta, WIC, and we're doing a lot of studies on consumer sentiment around the pandemic and reopening and you know, we all got to talking and just, you were like, we're all going to have such a tough time reopening until we can understand each other and communicate with each other. Otherwise, everyone's just going to be uncomfortable and we're going to go flip flop back forth, open and shut everything down again. So we really tried to think about, you know, ourselves in some of the situations, early situations that we were in, and what we kind of needed in order to be able to facilitate, a conversation, or knowing if we could call a client to have a coffee meeting, or what that would look like in the future. And that's kind of how this color system came about. Was, you know, orange would be for someone that is, their home is at risk, you know, or they are protecting a loved one. Blue is if you are strictly, you know, social distancing and hoping to honor that space wherever possible. And then green would be for people who are in an environment where they are more comfortable interacting. We had early iterations of the color system that we went back and forth on for several weeks, back and forth on the colors, back and forth on the statements, did research surveys to make sure that the statements were resonating with people and people could easily identify which color they could align with. And then we took the system to Rome, Innovative Workplace, where Chris and David work, and their company Wickes, and we tested our first system. So we had the wristbands in place. We saw people adopting it. We used that time to gather feedback, and we did make a few changes to the color and statement system before kind of locking in our, you know, visual language that we just rolled out with really last month. So there was a couple of months there. We were just working to make sure that we got the language and the colors right, so that they were really easy to adopt and understand and pressure tested a bit.
So now walk me through how the colors work in a real life situation. If I see somebody with a red or a blue, like how do I adjust what I'm doing in order to be respectful?
Yep, absolutely. So, The system that we developed first was kind of binary. It was, are you, you know, seeking as much space as possible, or are you a little bit more comfortable interacting? And we realized, we definitely needed that risk level because which is orange. My home is at risk. Or a loved one is at risk. And so basically, if you were to, let's just say you were, you know, in your workplace and there was a person who was wearing an orange band, or they had the orange laptop sticker or tabletop sticker outside their office, you know, really that person is requesting as much space as you can possibly give them. They aren't necessarily saying, stop, don't talk to me at all, because they, you know, are in an environment. Maybe they are there to work and still need to collaborate in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, it's making sure that we are going the extra mile to protect those folks wearing orange. Whether you are wearing green, whether you're wearing orange yourself, whether you're wearing blue, or whether you're wearing nothing at all. And then if the wearer is wearing blue, it's really just trying to understand that they're trying to keep as much distance between themselves and the other person as possible. So for example, my friend was at the Atlanta Zoo a couple months ago with his family, and he was shocked just, you know, how close people were getting, you know, looking at the animals and the different exhibits and saying, you know, I really wish there was something, because people get back into routines and they kind of, you know, I don't want to say you forget the pandemic is going on, but you start walking closer to people, or you walk up because you're looking at whatever animal, and you're kind of, you know, not realizing how close you might be to someone else. So it's just another way to remind people, hey, we are trying to keep our distance. We are, you know, a family wearing this color. Please look, honor as best as you can, so that we are getting a little bit more space.
So then, is it out in the wild anywhere? I know you tested it at Rome, but is it out in an environment right now in use?
Yes. So it's, we tested it in the 5 Rome offices here in Atlanta, and then really just turned on our sales efforts last week. So it will be in a lot more workplaces. There's actually a second church that it's in already just in the last week or so. But we, you know, we hope to see it adopted more widely now that we are kind of open for business and telling our story.
So now your first groups you're going after, are they churches and schools and things like that? Or you're going into businesses? What's kind of the order of priority for you at this stage?
Yeah. So the 3 markets that we really identified where the SafeHand system is kind of the best natural fit is workplaces, places of worship, and schools. So, you know, ecosystems where, like I said, people are grabbing their indicator, aware of each other's, aware how the system works. And we actually did a bunch of research before we selected our target markets to make sure that the parishioners or the teachers or the parents or the employees were seeing the value of the system. So our initial research showed that 96% of teachers thought this system would be valuable. Close behind that was the percentage of parents. So that told us, okay, schools definitely need this system. The second kind of highest value ranking was actually places of worship and workplaces. I think one of them was 77% of parishioners, and then 76% of employees thought this system would be valuable. So that's kind of how we developed our targets is, you know, all of the segments surveyed where who sees us as the most valuable at this point. And that's where, because we have limited resources, we have to direct our efforts.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
It is www.safehandscompany.com, or they could email me at cdeved@safehandscompany.com.
Good stuff, Christy. Congratulations on your success, and we appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much, and hope you have a great day.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.